The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. 8 o'clock hour underway on this August 4th. Appreciate you being here on a Thursday morning. Going straight to your calls. A lot of folks with a lot of things on their minds. And then I've got a couple of snippets of just a little segment we sometimes call Instructional Liberal Audio, in which, just having some fun, in which we take 20 or 30 seconds of people saying things that make you realize, wow, what's up with these people? One of them will be Beto O'Rourke on the campaign trail, bristling about parents actually having feedback in schools. And the other will be the latest, just ridiculous moment from Karine Jean-Pierre. How long can she keep this gig? How many days can she embarrass herself and this administration? And apparently, the answer might be an indefinite number of days. Jen Psaki, who shoveled this administration's manure every day, at least did it with a certain confidence, a certain style. At least she was up there by herself, didn't have somebody riding shotgun most days. I don't know if Karine was just like the next person in line, but it's brutal. She's just absolutely getting owned by Peter Ducey on a daily basis. So we'll hear the latest golden nugget from her. It's about the Supreme Court. But the people I want to hear from first are you, 866-660-5759. We are in Garland. John, thanks for hanging on. How are you?
I'm well, Mark. Good morning.
Good.
I was listening to your program this morning, and you were on the topic of the presidential race, and you mentioned DeSantis and maybe Tim Scott, but you made a comment that kind of jumped off the page at me, and it was something to the effect of all the things that you really liked about Trump, but then you inserted a comment about all of his flaws. And I'm just curious if those flaws are they factual, or are your opinion, or is this CNN, you know, fabricated fake news? You know what? I'd love to hear these flaws.
Sure. I think the term I used was what we have to be concerned about is he has sky high negatives. But, okay. but honestly, I have used that term as well. So I'll give you here's the short. The short paragraph or two, as short as I can do it, and then I'll give you the floor right back. Trump's greatest president of my lifetime, absolutely greatest presidency. I think Reagan's my favorite president, and Trump is my favorite presidency. If that sort of makes sense. Thank God he won every day. It was glorious. Thank God Hillary did not, and his agenda is one of the most desperately needed ever. Right. So now the question is, what should be our thought about him trying to tee it up again in 2024? If he winds up being the nominee, obviously, okay, here we go. Full Grover Cleveland, two unconsecutive terms. I'll be without reservation in my enthusiasm for that. If we have the opportunity, and it's a big if, and that's why my eyes are peeled and I've got DeSantis under the magnifying glass every day, that we may have the possibility for the Trump agenda with greater discipline, with fewer unforced errors, with somebody that doesn't fire up Democrats to crawl on broken glass to vote against him, somebody who could run for two straight terms, which Trump cannot, that is absolutely worthy of consideration. So the negatives, somebody's negatives are not always their fault, you know, because sometimes they are what they are. And with Trump, in fact, with Trump's perceived negatives, some of them are because he was so successful, because he is so courageous, because he is so unapologetic. For that reason, there is just nobody on earth who will fire up Democrat voters in 2024 as much, even if their nominee sucks, which it probably will. And that is of some concern to me. Now, as far as flaws that are his fault, if you want to call it that, there's a certain rhetorical discipline that gets him in trouble every once in a while. How many times during the presidency did I have to say, or how many times during the campaign did I have to say, God, I love this guy, but he's killing me. I love this guy, but he's just committing these unforced errors that bring about mockery and where people even who support him go, oh, dude, come on. From stupid things that don't matter, like the inauguration crowd, you know, to some things that do, like a momentary embrace of red flag laws. There's the occasional thing like that that was a stub of a toe. Did it matter? Did it make me support him less? Absolutely not. Did it? And I would love these calls where people go, hey, Marco, what about this latest thing Trump did? What about it? Thank God he's president. It's the best presidency of my life. And those little tiny sideshow things are going to matter to me in that regard. But if those things, and here we go, home stretch, if the various things of the whole Trump phenomenon are of a type that will motivate, I've always said Trump motivates two kinds of voters, conservatives and liberals. He motivates conservatives because of the wonderful things that he does, and motivates the left because there's nothing they would love more than to beat him again. So that's why I think DeSantis deserves at least a look. I'm looking every day. I'll stop talking. What do you think?
That was a mouthful. And I love it. I think you're spot on. I am full in on President Trump. I think from a trust factor, what he delivered in his years, in his tenancy.
Yep.
You know, rather than what he said he's going to do, he actually delivered it. I understand why you could get excited about DeSantis, but, you know, he's still a politician. President Trump is not. He doesn't need politics. I don't know. I'm hesitant.
No, that's perfect. That's perfectly, perfectly sensible. And you've arrived at the thing, that the one thing, and this is kind of interesting, because obviously the thing that I love the most about Trump's presidency was its unapologetic conservatism on the vast majority of things. But you've identified the reason why everybody who's coming after him is because he just didn't care about critics. He just didn't care about the establishment of either party or currying favor with the media. He broke all the political rules, saying essentially, look, here's what I'm going to do. If you like it, great. If you don't, whatever. But here's what I'm going to do. He made promises and he kept them, which has not been a Republican habit for most of the last few decades. Yep.
Agree.
Yep. Oh,
well,
spectacular. God bless you, man. Thank you. Spectacular call. If I can go through that every few days with people, I am more than happy to do so. All right. let's pivot on a different campaign trail. This is the gubernatorial campaign trail. I am not going to waste a lot of your time as the November election approaches, bombarding you with Beto audio, Robert Francis O'Rourke on the campaign trail. But so here he is on a campaign event yesterday and talking about respect for teachers, of course, we respect teachers. Of course. But sometimes he says the true stuff out loud. What deeply chafes Beto O'Rourke and all the creatures of the left is that you, those of you who are parents, and those of us who, you know, no longer have school-age kids, but I care deeply about the public schools. They are educating, supposedly, you know, the next wave of people that are going to come out and inhabit society. So we all have an interest in the public schools doing a good job. But the notion that teachers and school boards and curricula are getting some scrutiny from actual parents who are saying, wait a minute, you're teaching things that are making kids hate each other and hate the country. You are teaching a history that absolutely that reeks of actual hatred of our founding, dismisses our Constitution. You know, once again, and pardon this usage every time, you know, George Floyd's ghost is writing school curricula now. And there are people rising up and saying, nope. And Beto is not happy. Oh, hang on.
With the respect that
let me start over.
What if we treated that teacher with the respect that she has earned, that she is owed, that we all want to give her? We don't need to tell her what version of history she is allowed to teach in a classroom. We don't need to scare the parents of those kids before her about something called CRT that I've never heard of before last year.
But we've heard of it now, haven't we? Because we are on to you. We are on to you. The parents, the citizens, the people are on to you with this poisonous agenda of CRT, with this poisonous agenda of gender obliteration. Chris Rufo, what show was he on last night? He was on Hannity last night. I got to play this now. I'll do it here in a minute because we got to get to Karine Jean-Pierre. I guess San Diego is the latest focus. San Diego, pretty conservative town, right? Where it's just the schools are just dripping with this gender radicalization. You know that girls can have a pee-pee. And sorry, and vice versa. It's just this is insane. And listen, it's not just insanity that you can shrug off. This is the poisoning, the intellectual and logical poisoning of children. I mean, ugh. All right, here, hang on a second. Let's go to here's 20 seconds of sound analysis from Karine Jean-Pierre. Let us stipulate that the White House did not like the Supreme Court ruling against Roe v. Wade. That's because the left doesn't care about the Constitution. What they want is their agenda enshrined in Supreme Court rulings. This is why I said 500 times that I didn't want Roe v. Wade overturned, because I'm pro-life. I don't look for the Supreme Court to do my political bidding. I wanted Roe v. Wade overturned because it's unconstitutional. There is no mention of abortion in the Constitution. That is simply a fact. We are all entitled to our own opinions. We are not entitled to our own facts. But apparently, Karine did not get that memo.
From day one, when the Supreme Court made this extreme decision to take away a constitutional right, it was an unconstitutional action by them.
What?
That was around for almost 50 years, a right that women had to make a decision on their bodies and how they want to start their
family. It was the Roe v. Wade decision of 1973. That was unconstitutional. It was constitutional fiction. It was made up. This was a correction of that. Everybody can like that or not like that, but the constitutional argument is what it is. Biden himself, or whoever, whatever 20-year-old is running the White House Twitter account, whatever intern has control of his phone, said something about how apparently because of the Kansas vote, by a like 60-40 margin to maintain the enshrinement of abortion protection in the Kansas Constitution, said that that they don't appreciate the power of women. I thought, what? Women? This has nothing to do with women in terms of how that vote went. It was liberals. It was pro-choicers. Men and women. There were, I'm guessing, no small amount of pro-life women, who are no less women, who voted the other way. This is not a women's issue. This is an attitudinal issue. One either believes in protecting the unborn or one does not. If one does not, that makes you pro-choice, man or woman. The notion that this is somehow, what an insult to women. To say that it's a women's rights, that killing babies is a women's rights issue, as if all women want to do it. But the constitutional fiction, the judicial fiction, was the Biden quote in that tweet that said something like the Supreme Court didn't recognize, you know, the power of women. Joe, or anybody, whoever's running the Twitter account, it's not the Supreme Court's job to gauge or even care about the power of any constituency. Why is Lady Justice blind? Why does that statue have scales out in front of her and with a blindfold on? It's because she's supposed to balance things. Lady Justice, metaphorically, is supposed to balance things, weigh the options, weigh the evidence, weigh the arguments without any regard to who's in front of you, male or female, black or white, rich or poor, blind to who's in front of you, ruling only on the merits of the case, ruling only on the constitutional value of the arguments made. This is stuff that the left will never grasp. 824.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Little vintage McCartney, he and Linda together on Ram. Little Smile Away. Oh. 866-660-5759. All right, having dipped a toe into the pool of schools, one of the most important guys in America right now is a gentleman named Chris Rufo, R-U-F-O. He is a senior fellow at a think tank called the Manhattan Institute. He's done a lot of writing, a lot of researching on the gender radicalization in schools. And if it ever occurs to you, why are they just so hell-bent on this gender obliteration, this gender radicalization? Why do they do what they do? Chris has a theory. I'll share that next from his appearance on Hannity last night and various other things I haven't even gotten to yet. So stick around. Much more to come. And you supply often at least half the material. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. Grab a line. I'm Mark Davis, 831. Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom.
Breaking news, stimulating talk. This is 660 AM. The Answer.
Skies are mostly sunny. It is 82. I'm Gordon Griffin. The Senate votes 95-1 to add Sweden and Finland to NATO. Capitol Hill correspondent, SRN correspondent Bernie Bennett has more on the story.
The Senate on Wednesday voted overwhelmingly to approve a resolution ratifying Sweden's and Finland's accession to NATO, sending another signal that Congress remains unified in opposing Russian aggression toward Ukraine and Europe. The Senate voted 95-1 to approve the resolution, with every member of the Democratic caucus and most Republicans voting in support. It ratifies protocols of accession that NATO allies signed on July 5th. Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley, who argued in a recent op-ed that the United States should focus on containing China instead of expanding NATO, was the only Republican to vote no. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis expected to make a major announcement this morning. On Twitter Wednesday night, DeSantis press secretary Cynthia Pushaw says that the announcement from the Republican governor will cause the liberal media meltdown of the year. It's the end of an era for one daytime soap opera.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
NBC announcing that it will move its long-running daytime drama Days of Our Lives to its Peacock streaming service. The soap opera will debut on Peacock exclusively September the 12th, when its time slot on NBC will be taken over by NBC News Daily. Forecast for the Metroplex for today is going to be sunny and hot, 104, and heat index values as high as 108. And now you know what's going on. I'm Gordon Griffin on 660 AM The Answer.
Traffic Watch.
Northbound I-35E still completely shut down between Beltline and Frankfurt. That is due to a wreck. Huge backups stretching all the way back to Walnut Hill. That's about an hour delay. Try using Josie or possibly Luna as an alternate route. Also, a wreck remains in Allen, 75 northbound at Ridgeview in the left lane. That's going to have you backed up from Stacy Road. Real estate agent Chris Waters guarantees multiple offers in 5 days, or he'll sell your home for free. Get maximum convenience plus maximum price. Call Christopher Waters today at 214-689-6646 or go to ChristopherWaters.com. Now you know what's going on. I'm Michael Scott on 660 AM, The Answer Traffic Watch.
My credit cards were out of control, and the high rates were killing me. I knew I had to do something. When I saw an ad for Elite Financial Services, I gave them a call and knew it was the right thing to do. After 18 months, my debt was gone, and I was back on track to my goal of saving for my first home.
Trying to get rid of your credit card debt can feel like swimming upstream without a paddle. You make your payments regularly, but for some reason, at the end of the month, the amount of money in your pocket decreases, and that big number attached to your debt doesn't seem to decrease at all. It's overwhelming. You work too hard to keep giving your money to creditors. Get on the life raft with Elite Financial Services today. Our team of certified debt specialists will help you to understand every step of the process and are ready to answer any questions you may have along the way. Visit their website, livedebtfree.net. Confidential debt analysis at livedebtfree.net. That's livedebtfree.net. 18 to 24 months is only an estimate. Results may vary.
Dr. Gorka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about the 100% drug-free relief factor. We all deal with aches and pains in our day-to-day lives, and I have had my fair share, including injuries like a detached quad muscle that I can tell you fell into the category of really bad pain. But I've been able to manage the pain by taking Relief Factor. It helps your own body to attack and fight off sources of inflammation, the source of most of our aches and pains, and I've loved it for years now. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it worked for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick starter pack for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com, call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. Feel the difference.
Plumbing leaks beneath your home and deteriorating cast iron sewer lines can be detrimental to your home's foundation and can be very costly to repair or replace. Accurate Leak and Lines team of master plumbers utilizes no-dig trenchless plumbing technology along with conventional excavation and rerouting methods to replace these aging systems externally with no cosmetic damage to the interior of your home. For more information, go to AccurateLeak.com and schedule a free inspection with one of our master plumbing slab leak technicians. AccurateLeak.com. That's AccurateLeak.com. Texas Master Plumbing License 38912.
Patriot Mobile, there for you, helping to bring about all this stuff we talk about here in the talk show universe all the time. Something they'll be talking about a lot at CPAC over the next few days, and a wonderful gentleman in town for CPAC will join us in 60 seconds. But see, we spend all this time talking about strong borders and about the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and about pro-life causes. And by the way, talking is important, but actions and lining up with companies that support our values, this is really important. So this is the part where I ask you, who's your cell phone company? Patriot Mobile, there for you. And we're going to flip you over for free with a free activation of Patriot Mobile. Just pay attention because I'm going to tell you what they're going to do for you. First, they're a fantastic cellular company. They're on all the big towers with all the big carriers, 100% U.S.-based customer service, a plan to fit every budget. And oh, by the way, a portion of every dollar goes to those conservative causes that I just mentioned, as well as our veteran and first responder heroes. Ready to switch? PatriotMobile.com/Mark, PatriotMobile.com/Mark, or 972 Patriot promo code Mark. It is PatriotMobile.com/Mark.
Listen live using our mobile app through TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey. You're listening to 660 AM, The Answer.
One thing about CPAC, it's about everything. Oh, it's all under a conservative umbrella, but it's going to be about taxes. Lord knows it's going to be about Trump when he shows up over the weekend. It's going to be about borders, and it's going to be about foreign policy, security policy. And on those subjects, one of my favorite guys to welcome to the show, one of my favorite guys to read is James J. Carafano, Jim Carafano, Heritage Foundation Vice President for Foreign and Security Policy. Welcome to town, sir. How are you?
Well, first of all, I was listening to the commercial with Seb Gorka, and I do Seb's show every week. I'm such a huge fan of what he does. And then you're talking about CPAC. I am such a fan of CPAC. I was just at CPAC Hungary. What they do to advance the conservative conversation, not just in America, but in the world.
Absolutely.
Nobody does.
What? I was talking to Matt Schlapp. I was talking to Matt Schlapp literally last week, and I was looking at the list of speakers and attendees, and you're there. Trump is there, and a ton of people along that spectrum of folks you've heard of and people with important things to say about conservatism. And I asked him, and I'll ask you, because as a student of and attendee of so many CPACs, what is its purpose? Is it to sort of be a big advertisement for conservatism to help us sell it better, to help us define it better, to spark some energy for us for 22 and 24? Is it designed to absolutely move Trump downfield, or is it open to anybody? What's your thought?
Well, I think it's a place for conservative conversation. You know, there's Davos and all these conference, and it's like we don't get a seat at the table, mm-hmm. and when we do get a seat at the table, we're put in a corner and you know, maybe we're the diversity hire and that's it. What Matt has done is Matt said, like, screw you guys, we're going to build our own table.
Exactly right.
And he has created a space for people to get together. One of the things, you know, we brought a lot of the foreign embassies to CPAC because it's the only place they can hear all of American conservatives talk and had a lot of great conversations. So to me, you know, when they write the history of the modern conservative movement and they'll say, you know, how do we get back in the game? People will look at the Tea Parties. And people look at CPAC.
As well they should.
That were the great catalysts. Yeah.
So there's never a dull moment, because if let's say we're talking borders, all the conservatives will say make them stronger. If we're talking taxes, all the conservatives will say make them lower. If we're talking abortion rights, all the conservatives will say let's be pro-life. But foreign policy, your world, your sphere, pretty darn fascinating. Let's do some China and Taiwan, and then let's do some Ukraine. Nancy Pelosi, who makes all of our teeth itch on a daily basis, goes right to Taiwan. I thought it was great that she went. What was your overall take on that?
Well, I mean, my thing is, first of all, U.S. officials should have been doing this all along. So kind of shame on us for not doing this and allowing the Chinese to make something out of something which should be literally every member of Congress, every U.S. official has a right to go to Taiwan. That this is simply the norm. We should have exercised that before, like mm-hmm. freedom of the seas. So. Mm-hmm. So shame on us. But here's my problem with the whole thing. China is America's number one challenge in the world. I don't think anybody will dispute that. The number one sensitive, most controversial, complicated issue is Taiwan. So here we are on the number one problem in the world, on the most important issue. And you would think the U.S. government, every step we take would be deliberate, planned, and smart, leading to something else. And yet, we look like the Keystone Cops. She's going, the president doesn't want her to go. He can't explain the one China policy. He tweets after. We look like yahoos. And to me, this is kind of a red flag. The U.S. government is literally making it up as it goes along on the most important challenge in the world, on the most, probably the most difficult issue. I don't get a warm and fuzzy from that.
No, I also doesn't take much time for me to figure out why that is. It's because we have a president who is not on board for being tough about China. We don't have a president who could even find full-throated support for a speaker of his own party going to show solidarity with Taiwan, which is an objectively good thing to do. So one of the reasons for the confusion is there's confusion at the top.
You're absolutely right. People have not noticed this, but ever since Joe Biden has come into office, he has gotten progressively weaker at challenging China, and he has morphed back into Obama's foreign policy, which was, you know, like they're a difficult cousin or something. So we know we have to compete, but we need to find ways to kind of ameliorate that, and we need to look for ways to cooperate. This is nonsense. China's demonstrably proven it wants a world without America, and they pay attention to what we do, not what we say. And when we look accommodating and indecisive and non-confrontational, they see that as weakness.
Rightfully so. All right, let's pivot to something that'll certainly be some conversation over a few beverages this weekend at CPAC, and that is Ukraine. We would all love to see Ukraine prevail. We'd love to see Putin's Russia driven from Ukrainian land. I see zero chance of that happening in the short term and maybe even in the long term. So what do we do about a seemingly endless trough of insufficiently accountable money being poured onto Zelensky's desk? It's tricky. It's troubling. We know who the good guys and the bad guys are here, broadly drawn, but is this another forever war?
I think you framed it exactly right. Look, a Ukraine that can defend itself is in our interest. And the reason for that is very simple, because Vladimir Putin is not interested in Ukraine. Ukraine is just the first stop. He wants to reabsorb all the post-Soviet states. He wants to have dictatorial control of a century. He wants NATO to dissolve. And this isn't about defending Russia. This is about exerting Putin's control. And this is exactly what the Chinese want. The Chinese want a weakened, divided, distracted Europe so they can move in. So stopping Putin in Ukraine, that's actually in our interest. But to your point, we do that by not being stupid. And just throwing money at the country does not help the Ukrainians. As a matter of fact, many Ukrainians would be the first people to stand up and say, if you just flood this country with money, how do you think we're going to fight corruption? So, I mean, I think what people are really upset about here, and rightly so, is we have a poor president who has a lousy policy, who doesn't want to deal with a lot of issues other than writing checks for our taxpayers.
Then what does make sense? I find myself thinking, what would Trump do? What would Reagan do? What would a smart conservative, what would they be doing faced with this quandary?
Well, of course, the glib answer is it would have never happened
The correct answer. Exactly. Thank you. Okay. But it has. So what's the why? You're totally right.
I think there are three pieces. One is, let's be honest. The people of Ukraine have been horrifically attacked, and having an independent Ukraine is in our interest. So supporting them in a smart way, that makes sense. And actually, I think, again, it's the Biden problem. It's not the total money package. It's the weapons and the arms. And the reality is if we weren't risk averse and we'd given them the weapons and arms that we need faster, the war would have ended quicker. Mm-hmm. But Ukraine may or may not, that's an issue. But beyond that is what is our interest? Our issue is stable Western Europe, right, which keeps Russia and China at arm's length. Who does that? NATO. So beefing up the forward defense of NATO, which I think is why adding Finland and Sweden actually strengthens NATO. Mm-hmm. And then energy independence, right? So the transatlantic community cannot be dependent on our enemies, China and Russia, for energy. And so the answers for that is one is America needs to get back in the oil and gas business. It's the mm-hmm. quickest way to energy independence. And the other is are you an idiot? I mean, all this green stuff they want to buy, we're just in China, whether it's solar panels made by, slave labor or the other stuff. And so, we need if we had a strong energy policy, if we were investing in peace through strength, we'd be fine. But this gets to, I think,
We've talked about Russia and talked about China, which takes us to the vote in the Senate yesterday, which was America saying yes to it's our NATO vote in saying yes to Finland and Sweden being added to NATO. And it was 95-1. And there's brother Josh Hawley, whom I really like a lot, who is smeared often for January 6th fictions. So I went looking, why in the world was he the only guy voting against it? And his thing was, focusing on Russia so much takes our eye off the ball about China. Good Lord, stop it. Somehow you're able to do it. I'm able to do it. We're able to look at Russia as an issue, China as an issue, to know that China is the more serious of the two and somehow get through the day.
Right. And Russia's part of the China issue. But I love Josh Hawley. And that's his point. The one thing I love about the conservative movement is this diversity of debate. I love that. Challenge the consensus. I guess that's great.
Yep.
And it gets to the point about, again, what's the value of CPAC? Well, look, there are these polls. There are people that want to do nothing, right? Maximum restraint isolationists, stay here, don't bother anybody. They won't bother us. And then there's people that want to, take over the world, be the world policeman, nation build, regime change, or, turn it over to the UN and everything. And I think, great, let's have those. Because I think responsible foreign policy is in the middle. And I'm sorry, it does look very Trumpian. What is in the national interest? Does it provide for our freedom and our security and our prosperity? And is it actually going to work? And so, let's roll up the sleeve and have those debates. And why I value CPAC is because we can talk about issues like Ukraine.
It is. It's enormously valuable. And focusing on this one is particularly of interest because it's always a good idea. And this was part of the Trump genius is if you're wondering what to do about something around the world, wondering what to do really about anything, ask yourself the question, what is first and foremost in America's best interest? And that's why Ukraine is such a head scratcher and a dilemma because it is absolutely in America's interest to have Ukraine win this skirmish. It's absolutely in our best interest to show Putin that he can't can't have the band back together in the form of all the old republics. That's absolutely in our best interest. It is decidedly not in our best interest to write a big blank check to a country that has kind of a corruption problem. So I think your answers there are smart. In our final couple of minutes, you are not just a one-trick pony, even on the multifaceted story of foreign policy. What's your? I know there'll be a straw poll. Trump going to win it? DeSantis going to come close? Anybody else worthy? I mean, listen, there are a lot of people worthy of attention, but who would you like to see running in a big, happy 2024 field?
Look, I do policy, not politics, but I think American conservative foreign policy is going to be there. The kind of things that we just talked about, people that understand that voters want you to put Americans first when you think about what we need to do overseas. I think whoever the candidate is, that's the space they're going to live in, and I'm excited about that.
Read.
A Republican, which I'm not, I'm a conservative.
Yes. It's just extremely important. Anybody can put an R by their name. Anybody. Liz Cheney has an R by her name. That's all I need to tell you. All right, James J. Carafano, J.J. Carafano on Twitter, Carafano, and find everything he writes at heritage.org. Jim, welcome to town. Have a great time. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, my friend.
Jim Carafano, Heritage Foundation. Mark Davis, 850. That is a great quote from Jim Carafano. I'm not a Republican, I'm a conservative. Well, I'm both. You can be one or the other, Lord knows. And you can be one or the other. Conservative and not a Republican means you are conservative, but just not choosing to align yourself with the party. I think that it's a good thing for conservatives to be all in party politics, to guide the Republican Party, because God knows it needs guidance from time to time, and has received an enormous amount of guidance in these last 6 years from the Trump phenomenon. And it has been to our enormous benefit. It has injected an energy and injected a vigor, injected courage and clarity. It's been fantastic. But as far as being a Republican and not a conservative, examples abound. I mean, from up in New England, where the Republicans they elect are simply not going to be all that conservative, like Susan Collins, to people who have decided to let Trump hatred eat their brains, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, this guy Peter Meyer in Michigan, who just lost his primary. And look, I don't really do the whole Schadenfreude thing, the term for taking joy in the misfortunes of others. I want these people to live long, happy, prosperous lives in the private sector, because as soon as you let Trump hatred eat your brain, you're part of the problem and no longer part of the solution. And this is why just a couple of weeks from now, please God, let us be talking about Liz Cheney ushered back into private life by the voters of Wyoming. All righty, 8:57. Let me scoot out here and hand things over at the top of the hour. SRN and a burst of Gordon Griffin, and then back to your calls at 866-660-5759. Chris Rufo on the outrages of education in a pretty conservative town, San Diego. It's coming to your town if we let it, and a number of other things. The honor killing trial. I even hate that term used by this guy who was on the run for 12 years. Then they found him. Now it's a capital murder trial. As well, it should be. Killed his daughters because they were dating outside the faith. Can't have that. And a number of other things like water shortages and et cetera. So a big happening 9 o'clock hour. Come be a part of it. 866-660-5759, 858.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.